Growing up, the kids in our neighborhood played all kinds of sports there in the neighborhood. We would gather together. We would, you know, in the summer we'd play the baseball or kickball in the street. In the fall we'd play football in the street. We lived on a street that really wasn't very busy. You know, in the wintertime we played hockey in the driveway, with our garage door as behind the net, so that my dad was constantly replacing panels in the garage door, and basketball. There were hoops up on the garage in the drive, so we played basketball in the drive. Every season we played some kind of sport. We were out there playing. And for the most part, at least in hindsight, we were pretty good about following the rules. I don't remember a lot of major fights over the games that we were playing in the street. We went out, we played, we had fun, and we played the games the way they were supposed to be played. With one exception. Seems like, and it happened more in things like baseball or kickball, right? We had a rule that you will never see on any organized sport in any, golf has one, I guess. We called it the do-over. Right? It went something like this, right? We're playing kickball and the ball's coming down and you kick at it and it goes off the side of your foot and goes way over there foul and you'd stop the game all of a sudden and shout, "Do over." The ball right before it got to my foot hit a stone and it bounced that way. And so I missed. I didn't kick it the way I thought. So I get a do over. And we let each other get away with it. The do-over. It's starting again as if that what had already what just happened didn't happen. Terrell, you play golf. In golf, they call it the mulligan. Right? And you never use a mulligan, do you? Never. A couple times a hole, you said? Oh, around. Okay, all right, okay. The do-over. As if what just happened really didn't happen. It's erased. It's gone. I think Jesus in this morning's gospel lesson is talking about the do-over. The do-over. This guy named Nicodemus, this Pharisee, comes to Jesus. And notice, did you notice when he comes? At night. In the darkness. For John, darkness and light is a major theme. And Nicodemus comes in the darkness. Darkness is that which opposes God. But Nicodemus seems to come with a legitimate concern, a legitimate question. "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs apart from you, can do these signs apart from the presence of God." He recognizes that Jesus is different, that Jesus is special. And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Without being born from above. Now that word, "from above," in Greek, can mean from above, or it can mean again. And this is where we get this born again stuff. Right? Because that's how Nicodemus hears it. Nicodemus hears Jesus saying, "You can't see the kingdom of God without being born again." And Nicodemus says, "Well, wait a minute. How does that work? How is one born again? You can't climb up in your mother's womb and do it a second time." And Jesus, in essence, says, "You're not understanding this, Nicodemus. Because here's what being born from above means." And Jesus talks about being born of water and the Spirit. Jesus talks about the Spirit. said, "Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." To be born of the Spirit, and then he compares it to the wind. Why would you do that? Okay, all right. And actually, in Greek and in Hebrew, the word for spirit and wind and breath is the same word. Pneuma, by the way. You want to make that connection? P-N, is it U-E? Pneumonia, E-U. Thank you, Mike. You realize your name tag says Michelle McKenzie, right? Okay. And you almost had me, too. Folks, the name tags are really only helpful if you wear your own. Yeah. Keep me on my toes. You know, this is the week that we move the clocks ahead, so everybody's a little more sleepy today. You're going to catch me. It's not, you know, I'm not really... Anyway, okay, so where was I? Pneumonia, right? Pneumatic tools, right? They use air, right? So all of those words are related. Wind, breath, and spirit. Well, think about that, right? Jesus says that the wind blows where you have to have the spirit. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear this. So the spirit is like this wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. You know it's there, but you can't see it, right? And the other part of that is, how well do you control the wind? All right. If you live in Nashville this week, right, we can't control the wind. The same way we can't control the Spirit. The Spirit goes where it's going to go. And so to be born again is to be born from above, to be born of the Spirit. Think about the creation story for a minute. Right? Wind, breath, and spirit are the same words. What does God do as he in the second chapter of Genesis when he gathers up the mud and he breathes into it and gives life? It is the Spirit, Jesus says, that gives life. But it's a new life, and it's a do-over. To be born from above, to be born again, is a do-over. It's as if God says all of that stuff that happened before doesn't matter. You have a new life. You are a new person. You are born a second time. You are born as one to whom God breathes. Let me talk about the significance of that for a minute. We don't have this experience in our culture. In our culture, we live with the idea that no matter who you are, no matter where you are born, you have the possibility of making something great of yourself, right? To raise yourself up by your bootstraps, right? A peanut farmer from Georgia can be president. I mean, it was, right? Okay. But in Jesus' culture, the family you were born into determined your life. and there was no escaping it. If you were born a carpenter, if you were born into a carpenter's family, you were a carpenter. If you were born a laborer, you were just a laborer. If you were born into a family that was destined to live hand to mouth, to be a peasant, to be a nobody, that was where you were your whole life. There was no escaping the family you were born into. And Jesus comes along and says, you can be born again. You can be born from above. From above. You can be born into God's Spirit. You become a child of God. It is Jesus promising a new family. And with that new family, all the possibilities that go with it. Jesus says, God so loved the world that He gives all of us the opportunity to be born again, to be born from above, and to be made children of God. And with it, all the rights and privileges of being God's child. To be promised a place in God's kingdom forever. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? Talked a little bit about it, right? The wind blows where it wills. We have no control over it. Think about being born. You remember your birth? Do you remember how much control you had as to your birth? When, where, who, how? Right. None. We had no control over our first birth. And I think Jesus here reminds us as well that we have no control over our second birth. That this is God's doing. It is God choosing us. It is God blowing the Spirit into our lives and making us new people, giving us new family. It is God saying, I choose you to be my child. And giving us this great do-over that says all of that stuff from the past is gone. Didn't exist. And now you have a new being, a new future, a new life as a child of God. As we continue in the Lenten season, I think the message from today's gospel is that you are a new being. That God has given you a new life. God has given you a do-over. And God continues to do that for us each and every day. You have a do-over. And now it's our job to do something with it. God has chosen us as His children and now calls on us to live that new life as children of God. Amen.